All right, saints. Well, Happy New Year again. I love saying it. I'll probably say it till Valentine's Day. Amen. Amen. I want you to look in your order of service, and I want us to just shout out, what's the title of our message this second Sunday of the new year? Amen. I want us to join in with Karen. She had some going on with that. I think she's working on a winning season. Amen. So working on a winning season. Amen. That is our message for today. Today we are starting a new sermon series. And it is entitled, It's Game Time. High five your neighbor and just get them excited. It's game time, neighbor. It's game time. All right, now Pastor Kelly got us all revved up last week when she preached, is the world better now than it was 10 years ago? And what are we as Christians to do about it? And so we're just going to continue on. It's game time. Next week, Pastor Rick will be preaching on calling an audible. You have to make a sudden change sometimes in life. And then Pastor Kelly will be preaching on traded when you find yourself in a new situation. And then we're going to wrap it up with fourth quarter. You got to step things up. Amen and amen. All right. Working on a winning season. First, let's join our hearts. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, we praise you. And now we lift ourselves, oh, God. We lift ourselves with teachable spirits. Oh, God, we just ask, Lord, that you would help each of us to be eager to be changed. Oh, Lord, we just ask that you would let the light of your holy word soak into us as we focus now our thoughts on you and the preaching of your holy word, thus equipping us to be able to face whatever this year brings, to be able to experience all that you have for us. And we want what you've got for us, Lord God. So, Lord, as we listen now actively to the preaching of your holy word, help each and all of us to choose what is better for our lives, what is best, Lord, that it won't be taken away from us, and that we can experience as individuals and as the family of God a winning season in and for you, Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's expectant saints all join together to say amen and amen. Amen. This past session meeting, our elders and deacons meeting, during our time of sharing of joys and concerns, late Pastor Sylvia, she shared that she was thankful for a delightful day of celebrating her birthday. And she had a good time with her family, and when her family presented her with her birthday gift, her little grandson, Dylan, he said, oh, and he just suddenly ran out the room and he ran downstairs. And after a few minutes, he returned with this gift that was very uniquely wrapped. And he had this big Kool-Aid smile on his face. And as Sylvia took the wrap off the gift, she says, oh, what's this, Dylan? And he proudly said, well, Grandma, you remember when we went to the Henry Ford Museum in Michigan and we saw the Rosa Parks exhibit and you helped me buy this little bus, which is a replica of the bus that Rosa Parks sat on, and I saved it for your birthday. And she said, oh, it was so cute. And she was just so happy. And she just smiled all over herself. And she said, oh, thank you so much, Dylan. And he says, you're welcome. It was all in the plan. Hallelujah. It was all in the plan. Amen. Now, Dylan had his plan. And he stuck with it. Amen. So I want to ask each of us this day, what's your plan for 2011? What's your plan? Do you plan to do better this year? Okay, I see some heads nodding, all right. And I mean, without making any specific resolutions right now and calling them out, have you decided you really are going to have a plan and you're going to try harder to really improve your life in some way this year? Amen. Praise God. Well, you're among millions who've also made that decision. Unfortunately, we're also among the same number that resolved to do better last year, but ended up in the same position. Now, there is a reason, saints, that some of us improved in some areas of our lives last year, amen, than we did, because we stuck with it. So just nudge your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you got to stick with it. Just stick with it. All right. Now, there were some areas in our lives last year we didn't stick with it, amen, and we remained in the same sinking sand, experiencing a losing season. Well, I want to ask you today, have you ever experienced a losing season? I mean, a losing season occurs whenever you fail more than you succeed. It's when you lose more than you gain. It's when you travel further backwards than you do going forward. Losing seasons occur in our lives, and they occur for various reasons. Now, most people have a losing season once or twice, you know. And speaking of a losing season, I tell you, last Sunday evening, I found myself so discouraged, saints, as I watched the recaps of the sports analysis of the day concerning the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I was just feeling so down, and Pastor Rick was trying to pick me up, but I refused to be picked up. And to no surprise, the next morning, to discover that Coach Eric Mangini was fired. He was let go. Even though we were working on a winning season, our season still ended with a thud. Amen. And so we're still struggling. The Cavaliers are still struggling to get out of this losing streak, this losing season that we're in. And the Browns, we just ended on, you know, a losing season. But saints, losing seasons happen. Touch your neighbor and say, sometimes losing seasons happen. They happen. Not just for sports teams, not just for businesses, not just for careers or whatever. And also, as Christians, losing seasons do come. But saints, we must learn the secret of overcoming losing seasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we repeat what we did last year, guess what? We're going to get the same results. Amen. If we do, then we shouldn't blame anybody else. We shouldn't blame God. We shouldn't blame others. We can only really blame ourselves. Now, to increase, we've got to add something to what we already have. Amen. So first and foremost, saints, we must get closer to God this year. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, we got to get closer. Whatever level you're on, you got to get closer. You got to go up. You got to go up a level in your relationship with God this year. As Christians, our desire is to increase and to improve our relationship with God. What a privilege we have. And each new year gives us new opportunities to be new creatures in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. New opportunities to seek higher ground, amen, and to draw ourselves closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, looking at our New Testament text for today, it focuses on how Christ grew towards his purpose. He grew towards his life work, which was the salvation of humankind, you and I. Now, Luke paints three pictures of Jesus Christ. We see him as Christ the baby, so small and fragile, destined to spiritual greatness. We see him as a boy, accepting the challenges of ministry. We see in verse 51 and 52, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And as Jesus grew up, Scripture says he increased. Everybody say increased. He increased in wisdom and in favor with God and with people. Hallelujah. And finally, we see Jesus as an adult, and he's shouldering the responsibilities of the world as he carries the cross for us. Amen. So Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and people. Well, likewise, saints, our goal this year should be to make this year a year of increase. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Before we can work on a winning season, before we can improve, we need to be able to analyze our situation. We need to be able to analyze it honestly and correctly. Knowing in our hearts that God doesn't measure our lives by material possessions or any other kind of possessions, because Scripture tells us the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That means God's got everything anyways. God owns everything. So God is not impressed with our new car. God is not impressed with our jewelry. God is not impressed with our income. God judges us on the basis of spiritual growth. Say that with me. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, saints, requires more than a supernatural glance at what we are doing or what we got or any other thing. Spiritual growth requires a long look in the mirror. Now, perhaps the most difficult challenges for us as individuals is self-analysis. Now, this past week, lay pastor Felicia, she sent the pastors and some of the elders, and she sent us this spiritual self-analysis questionnaire. And I went on and said, oh, well, I'm gonna take this and just see what this is going to reveal to me. And I tell you, woo, by the time I got my analysis back, Felicia, whoa, I said, I got a lot of work to do this year. Amen. Praise God. I mean, it really makes you take a look at yourself. And I would like for you to help me to send it to all the spiritual journey people, because I want us to do that together as a group. You know what? It's easy for us saints to sit back and look at everybody else. We can do a good job at analyzing other people. Amen. We can point out their shortcomings and say, they need to improve that. We can earmark other people's faults and we can just second guess their actions. You know, but it's more difficult, saints, for us to analyze ourselves. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul said when he was writing 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Oh, saints, after self-examination, many of us begin to learn certain truths about ourselves. I learned something by taking that questionnaire because it asked some very difficult questions. And even Michael Jackson, who was not a theologian, he did have sense enough to ask the question, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. He says, I'm asking him to change his ways. Amen. We got to get to a place where we take a look at ourselves and make a change. Take a look at ourselves and make a plan to change. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We must improve, amen, on what we did last year, praise God. What we learned, amen, what we know about ourselves and what we need to change. Now, looking at our Old Testament text that Andrea read for us, 2 Chronicles 15, well, it tells us how a godly king, everybody say godly king. So many of those kings were so ungodly, but praise God, we're looking at a godly one today. And his name was Asa of Judah, and he was able to reverse the losing season of his kingdom by returning to worship and praise to God. Hallelujah! Now, King Asa, whose name means physician, was the third king of Judah. And historically, King Asa is noted for rooting idolatry out of his land and returning the people back to God. Asa reigned following the infamous reign of his grandfather, Rehoboam, and his father, Abijah. Now, Rehoboam inherited a beautiful kingdom from his father, Solomon. And it was a united kingdom, and they experienced peace at that time. It was known throughout the world for its splendor. Solomon's palace, which took 13 years to build. Now, when it takes 13 years to build your house, that's some house you got. And it was a great spectacle. It included a magnificent judgment hall, porch of pillars, and a throne room. This is Solomon's house. He constructed great waterworks to secure the city's water supply, along with many other fortifications. The great temple in Jerusalem was filled with so much gold Solomon brought in, fine wood and precious stones, that it was considered an architectural wonder. Commercial trade flourished, and trade agreements were made with Egypt, Africa, and Spain. Intellectual pursuits flourished under Solomon, who himself wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Woo! You see, Solomon had it going on, yeah. He promoted artistic development and culture. These were just small examples of the great works under King Solomon. The nation succeeded so well that the Queen of Sheba traveled many miles just to witness its splendor. And under King David and King Solomon, the nation appeared to enjoy back-to-back winning seasons. However, 2 Chronicles, amen, Gloria, it begins to tell us the story of a long losing season when the nation lost its prosperity that it enjoyed under King Solomon. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 of 2 Chronicles detail what can best be described as the beginning of what seems to be a long season of decline for the nation. After the death of King Solomon, the kingdom split under King Rehoboam. Now, instead of one nation, they were divided. Instead of peace reigning, they were always at war. Instead of commercial prosperity, they were scrapping by, trying to get by. Cultural and commercial pursuits had diminished. Chapter 13 of 2 Chronicles, it details the three-year reign of King Abijah, who was wicked, wicked, wicked like his father. Worship of God, it nosedived, it declined. And study of the scripture almost vanished. And idol worship flourished. Let's pay attention here, saints. Chapter 14 finds the new King Asa desperately trying to turn things around, desperately seeking for a winning season for God's people. Scripture tells us, chapter 14, verse 3, he took down foreign altars. He commanded the people to obey God's laws. And then in chapter 15, finds God speaking to the prophet Azariah and sending a message to King Asa with a way to recover from Judah's long season of losing and frustration and setbacks and war and division. The solution seems simple. Seek God and you will find God. Forsake God and God will forsake you. The prophet's message was clear, saints. If Judah was willing to return to God, hallelujah, God would resume God's blessings upon them. However, everybody say however. However, if they chose to continue to live apart from God, then their losing season would continue. Now, verse 4 of chapter 15 notes that the people in their distress, they decided, let's turn to God, amen. And they sought after the Lord. And when they sought after the Lord, God was found. King Asa led them to a renewed faith, a renewed worship of God. We read in chapter 15, verse 16, even his mother, the queen, was removed from office because of her support of idol worship. He said, I'm sorry, Ma, you got to go. You just got to go. And the swift and grand changes that King Asa made helped Judah recover from a long losing season. Now, saints, while his record never equaled that of Solomon, he was king of Judah for 41 years, and they enjoyed peace and prosperity. Now, the plan, the method that he used to reverse the losing season of the people was to return to godly ways, return to godly practices, seeking God first, amen, and trusting God for the rest. What does scripture tell us in Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. You see, that was the plan to recover from a losing season. And guess what? The plan worked. It worked. 2 Chronicles 15:7. I want us to read it together. I have it there printed in our sermon note sheet. Verse 7 says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Amen. Praise God. Bottom line, saints, like King Asa, when we put our trust in the Lord, hallelujah, we can turn our losing seasons into winning seasons. Amen. When we put our trust in the Lord, we see that God will make our race, woo, worth running. God will make our battles worth fighting, saints. God will make our course worth finishing. Thank you, Lord. Our faith worth keeping, and our difficulties worth facing. Hallelujah. And our burdens worth bearing. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, I want to encourage you today to learn a new habit for this new 2011. A new habit. In a devotional that we read often in our meetings here, it's by Sarah Young. It's called Jesus Calling, and it has scriptures that we read. Well, on January 4th, it was saying, Jesus is saying to us, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter who's in, what's out, whether you're feeling up or down, just be willing, no matter what, to say, I trust you, Jesus. Somebody just did something you think is totally off the wall and just crazy. Just say, Lord, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I'm going to focus on you and your power and your glory and your love for me. I trust you. I'm going to put you first. Let's just practice that. Everybody, let's just say, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. And I trust you, Jesus, and I pray that you say it today, you say it tomorrow, you say it all week, you say it all year, throughout your day, I trust you, Jesus. You see, when Asa and the people of God, when they said, we trust you, Jesus, we're going to put you first, Lord God, not only did they recover from a losing season, but they turned a losing season into a winning season. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Saints, when we trust in the Lord, we can turn dark days into sunshiny days. Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord Jesus. When we trust in the Lord, guess what? Even our midnights can turn into noonday. And our hard times can turn into good times. Yes, they can, saints. Yes, they can. Oh, we sing a song, I'm trading my sorrows, and I'm just laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we prepare to launch into this new year, saints, oh, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, let's work on a winning season. This year, let's just work on a winning season. Oh, let's work. As Pastor Kelly preached last week, it's time to shine. High five your other neighbor and say, it's time to shine. It's time to shine. Let's work on a new winning season. It's time to shine. You know, here at Glenville, amen, we sing, anointing, fall on me, anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. And saints, we need that anointing from God. We need the anointing of God. We are trying to win the world for Jesus Christ. We need the anointing of God to be able to go out there and do that. Because Satan don't want us to do it. We need God's anointing on our lives. And God has selected each of you. God has selected all of us. Amen. God has endowed us for service to God and for the kingdom of God, because God knows we can take the world's best shots and still score. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, Peter, get with me. High five your neighbor and say, we can still score no matter what the devil throws at us. God has endowed us. We can do it. We need to increase our faith and the abilities that God has given us. Look at the person next to you. Guess what? God has given that person gifts and talents. God has given that person abilities. Amen. And God wants us to use them as we are assisted by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what, saints? This year, let's just determine as individuals and as families and as a family of God, we're going to increase with the power of God. We're going to increase with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, as King Asa had a plan, King Asa was anointed by God. And you see, the anointing of the Lord is power from on high. That's what anointing is. How many know to live these days, we need power from on high? That's what anointing is. That's when we say, let the power of the Holy Spirit fall on me. An anointing from the Lord, that power on high, has the uniqueness to show the world the glory of God. That's what that anointing does. Because the world looks at it and says, there's something different about them. Wow, look at how they love each other. Wow, look at how she handled that. Wow, look at how he responded. There's something different. That's the anointing, saints. And God wants to anoint each of us. God wants to anoint the whole family of God, God's church, the body of Jesus Christ. God wants to anoint us for service. Everybody say for service. God wants to anoint us for service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want us to just thank God for personal anointing today. As you get closer to the Lord, God will pour more and more anointing and favor upon us. As we as a church get more and more closer and higher, high levels, the anointing shall fall on us in deeper ways. Oh, saints, we are anointed. Now, I want you to say this with me. All right, those who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please say this with me. We are anointed. We are enabled. We are gifted by the grace of God to do what God has placed each of us on this earth to do. Hallelujah, saints. Hallelujah. Praise your name. That's something to praise God about. You see, anointing is not about a feeling. Anointing is not about an atmosphere. Anointing is about knowing. Everybody say, it's about knowing. It's about knowing. It is about the assurance that God is with us. That we know that we know that we know that God is with us. It is knowing the anointing is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Emmanuel. God with us. The lily of the valley. The bright and morning star. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The King of kings and Savior of the world. Anointing is a person. And saints, anointing only comes through the anointed one. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died and rose again that we might have power and that we might have anointing. Jesus is the source of the anointing, and faith and trust in him must come first. Well, saints, Jamil William Daniels, he will come and he will conclude our message this day. And he is going to bring us a liturgical dance, and it's entitled Anointing, and it's by Jay Moss. And it speaks of the anointing, the power available to we as Jesus Christ followers. It is to us as believers, as we are in the work and the service of the Lord. We need that anointing. A verse in the dance goes, mountains can be moved with the anointing. Demons can be removed. How many know there's some demons that need to be removed out of your home, off your job, out of your neighborhood? Anointing can take blinded eyes and open us up, all of us. And anointing can take diseases and clear them up, the anointing. So as Jamil dances, I want us to pray along. And the chorus throughout this dance, it goes, surround me with your anointing. Endow me with your anointing. Douse me with your anointing. Equip me as I come, as I go. Use me as I flow with your anointing. Anointing, fall on me.